Thank you, Jerry. We'll see you and Joe tomorrow as this homestand continues. And now we will turn it over to you at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls to the bottom of the hour. And then we'll say goodbye to the network and our flagship station, Sportsnet 590. The Fan will be off to MasterCard Memorial Cup hockey. So let's get right to it. We're going to lead things off with Eddie in Fort Erie. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right. Go ahead.
You know what? I wanted to talk about the win today and have a question as well. I'll start with the question first. Is that the first time I've ever seen a ball go over an outfielder's head on this new turf? Or was that just something I've never seen before?
I don't know what you've seen and what you haven't seen, Eddie. I can't answer that question. But it's
well,
the first time I've ever seen a ball go over the head. It's the first time I've ever seen that. It's the first time it's happened on the new turf. It's, maybe because the sun's been beating down on it for a couple of days, it gets a little bouncier, a little springier. But I certainly wasn't expecting to see that.
Yeah, neither was I. And you know what? That kind of got it going for the Blue Jays. And you know what? And another thing I wanted to say about the game was Ryan Goins. I thought they had a tough time, the Blue Jays, in the two games. I thought, you know, try to get the clutch hits and that sort of thing, because they lost two out of three games by one run. And I thought the home run today by Goins was one of those things that really needed to get them going, you know?
Oh, it was massive. There's no question about it. They'd gone through a run where they went nine straight innings without a hit into that fifth inning, and then Kevin Pillar hit that little bloop nothing into the Bermuda Triangle in short right field,
mm-hmm.
and Goins comes up and follows it with a bomb. It was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's one of those things that'll help you, you know, get going, because I know it's been really hard for the Blue Jays, you know, it was a tough homestand, and I just hope that one little lift will help them get going, you know what I mean? I'll hang up and have a good day.
All right, thank you. You never know what's going to get you going, and you know, I've seen so many things that you think, you know what, that's it. That's the tipping point right there. That's what's going to turn things around and get a team going. And it doesn't happen, and sometimes you just don't see anything, and boom, it happens. So it'd be nice, but I think it's a lot to expect for this team as currently constructed to start scoring runs in huge bunches again. But I think this was the third time this week that I've had people tweet me before the game, multiple people tweet me how terrible the lineup is and how the Blue Jays should be embarrassed. Somebody even said if I had tickets for this game, I was asked for my money back. And to all those people, just calm down, would you? I don't know why you make all, you're so thrilled to make all these proclamations of doom in two of the three games where the Blue Jays have started the quote-unquote worst lineup they possibly could. They've scored eight runs in two of those games. The other one they lost. Brendan is in Abbotsford, British Columbia, listening on the Rogers Radio app. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, thanks. I know after a win you like people to phone in and talk about that particular game, but it is my first time.
I like it after every game.
Well, after every game, yeah. But this is my first time calling this year. So I have listened to all the Jays talks, and I just kind of want to build on a lot of what I've heard. And my kind of main point is the sentiment that if you're not great at what you do, you're terrible. And it drives me crazy. Everybody who phones in that says that Thoughtless has to go, what has he done? He's done no good. I just wanted to point to some of the moves he's made and how phenomenal they were at the time, and continue to be. The Vernon Wells deal was franchise changing as far as getting out of that money.
Yep.
And he was poor, and he was never good again. So he knew when to get out of that deal, and he handled that really well. The Bautista and Edwin contracts probably aren't talked about enough. The surplus value that the Jays have gained out of the amount of money they're paying those guys for the production they're getting and have gotten, outstanding. The Donaldson deal, crazy. 28 other GMs didn't know that he was even available. And Thoughtless, thanks to relentless calling and always being, no leaks, but always calling and trying to make something happen with players he wants, ends up getting one of the best players in baseball. And right now it looks like a really good trade, even if Barreto really turns out to be something.
You remember a couple of years ago there was a story in one of the papers where that showed – the painted Alex Anthopoulos is relentless and never give up and calling and calling and calling and painted that as a bad thing?
It's an asset. It's a tremendous asset
fantastic
to have in your management.
Yep.
And on top of that, is draft and development takes more time in baseball than any other sport. I wish that was more appreciated by the fan base. But we're looking, and again, pitching prospects often don't pan out. But you're looking at a list of Stroman, Sanchez, Norris, Hoffman, Hutchison, Osuna, Castro. It's a long list. If half of them turn out to be even good, that is a tremendous rotation. There, and all of that entire list are all guys probably either in the majors now or within a year away from being in the rotation. So there's no other team that can boast a list like that, that runs about seven or eight deep of, you know, possible impact pitchers that are going to be playing for $500,000 within the next year. And Poplar's track record is solid. Has he been great? No, there's been some poor moves. But great, not being great does not make you terrible. And quickly, if you don't mind, Mike, I just want to talk about Gibby as well. I like Gibby. And I, for everyone who says he hasn't won anything, he hasn't done anything, if I evaluate Gibbons, what he's done as a Blue Jays tactical manager, not wins and losses, against what John Farrell did as a tactical manager with the Blue Jays, I would take Gibbons. Well, Farrell went to Boston and won a World Series. He didn't get better as a manager. He just had players that ended up producing, and he got lucky. This year, Red Sox have a much higher payroll than the Blue Jays. They've underperformed huge. Has Farrell regressed as a manager? No, his players just aren't producing. So people that wanted to bank on wins and losses for managers, they're probably the least impactful of any of the major four sports in North America. A football coach is huge, and that matters greatly. But for people to think that Gibby's terrible, this and that, it drives me nuts. Is he great? I don't really know how to evaluate that, but I appreciate what he does with the lineup constructions. The platoons have been solid. The fact that we only have three good hitters in a lineup and they're batting 1-2-3 is genius. And there's a power hitter number one. There's barely any other managers in baseball who would do that. He knows to do that because when you flip the lineup towards the end of the game, you want to get those guys up as much as possible. So he has the stones to do something that a lot of managers won't do, and it's a very tactically smart way to set your lineup.
All right. Thank you, Brendan. Appreciate the call. Yeah, today Ezekiel Carrera could have been leading off, but since he's really not that good, but he fits the profile of a leadoff man, a lot of managers would have stuck him up there, and Gibby did a couple of weeks ago. But now he's learned this is how you do it. Tomorrow, Jose Reyes will be back and will be in that leadoff spot. And then it'll be Donaldson and probably Edwin and maybe Russ Martin, unless Jose Bautista is able to play tomorrow. But everything you said was correct. Look, all you got to do is look at managers' records year to year. And you see that it has so much more to do with how the players perform than anything else. Tommy Lasorda is the example that I cite more than any other, because he was all about, you know, the big Dodger in the sky and all about motivation and getting his players going and all of that stuff. And in 1988, the Los Angeles Dodgers, out of nowhere, won the World Series. Had no business doing it. It was really, I mean, it's the worst team that's won the World Series probably in the last 40 or 50 years. And Tommy Lasorda got a lot of the credit for that. The year before that, they won 77 games. The year before that, they won 73 games. The year after that, they won 77 games. And he didn't get the Dodgers into the playoffs again in 9 more seasons. So, was Tommy Lasorda like a really good manager in 1988, but terrible in 87 and 89? No, he was the same guy. But his players were better and performed better. So, got to Greg in Halifax listening on 95.7. Greg, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hi. This is Greg.
Yes, that's why I said, Greg, you're next. Go ahead.
Like I said, I enjoyed the game today, by the way.
Excellent.
But I still say we're not out of the woods yet, folks. And I don't think we should break out the champagne bottles yet. I mean, there's still a lot of stuff to do here.
Do you think anyone is actually breaking out any champagne bottles?
No, but I'm just saying that, you know, I think the wild card, I think, Mike, you could agree, is going to come from either the Central or the West or whatever. And basically, we're going to have to win the division.
Well, we're still a few months away from that, but it looks like that's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, and
they're four and a half games out of first place right now.
Yeah, but getting back to what you said about Gibbons, yes, I agree, I like him. But the one thing about it, and you know this, Mike, this business, if you don't win, you're going to be out the door.
Well, I think that holds in a lot of places. I would hope, again, I mean, there are places where it doesn't, where you ride your ups and downs if you know you've got a good guy. San Diego had Bruce Bochy forever and didn't let him go for a long time. And like I said, with Tommy Lasorda, he was managed for more than 20 years. You hope when you know that you've got someone good, you stick with him. And I think, you know, and I hope, I know Alex Anthopoulos is bright enough, and I hope that everyone else is, too, to understand what they've got.
But don't you think, Mike, that this is the time that those two better turn this around? Because this is my own opinion. I think that this might be the swan song for those two. But at the end of the year, if the same results happen, you think that maybe ownership's going to say, well, we're going to part ways and go somewhere else?
Yeah, I do. And I've said it multiple times. I think that if this season does not go well, then Alex Anthopoulos and John Gibbons will not be back. There will be a new president, and either way, and this new president will likely bring in his own people. But I disagree with your notion that there's anything they can do. You know, they can't turn this around. The players have to turn it around.
Players, that's right. That's true, yeah.
And it's the pitching continuing to perform the way it is and by the injured players getting back, and then that's how... that's how things will get turned around.
Exactly, yeah.
Thanks, Greg. I want to get to John Gibbons before we go, and we may have time to take another call or two as well. But the Blue Jays beat the Seattle Mariners and beat them up 8-2 today. Here's what the skipper had to say when it was over.
Goins gave you a big hit today. Could you just talk about how he's played for you this season?
Yeah, I mean, you don't expect home runs, but, you know, Gogo's, he's played great. You know what, I think he's you know, his defense is what it is, very good. You know, doesn't matter where you put him out there. Offensively, he's gotten better. I think a big part of that is he's more comfortable now. You know, he feels like he belongs. You know, young guys coming up and down, I mean, they battle that. You know, they want to prove themselves like they belong. And you know, actually, I think he's hit better this year than his numbers indicate. I mean, he's had a lot of tough luck. You know, he's hit a lot of Adam balls hard. He's playing good baseball right now, you know. But this, I mean, he can do everything he needs to do to be a good, solid big league player, and that's what he's doing.
Can you update us on Bautista and the quarter zone shot? How long you figure he'll be out of the lineup as a result?
Well, not long, you know. We'll just see kind of how it goes day to day. But this, I mean, this should help relieve some of the symptoms, I would think. But he had that this morning.
Talk about how Sanchez recovered after the early home run. How he limited the damage. Still a couple walks, but nowhere near the rate he was doing before.
Well, he just gets better and better. I mean, I've said this before. You see it every start. You know, he's the big thing. I think big part of that is because he's cutting down on the walks. You know, he's consistently more in the zone. His breaking ball's gotten better. I think he hung that one to Seager. So it was the home run. But then, you know, I mean, the key double play he had in the game, too. I mean, that's what he is. You know, he's doesn't necessarily give up a lot of hits, but he's a ground ball guy. He's got a chance to, you know, erase some of that real quick. He's always been a confident guy, and he always looks that way. But you kind of see it in him now, too. He's kind of settling in. He's got the appearance, you know, hey, you know, I'm starting to figure this out in the starting role, you know. Relieving, there was never a question there. Just come in and air it out, and it looks more comfortable. You can see it on his face too.
And more importantly, you can see it in the performance. And Aaron Sanchez was terrific today: 2 runs on 7 hits, over 6 2/3 with 2 walks. Last time out against the Angels, 3 runs on 6 hits, over 7 1/3 with 3 walks. Rough one in Baltimore, but the one before that against the Red Sox, 7 innings of 2-hit shutout. Although. The 5 walks. He is starting to really, really come around, as is the entirety of the Blue Jays starting rotation. And now is when they need it, because now the offense is down, although you wouldn't have known it today, with 8 runs on 10 hits. Blue Jays beat the Mariners by a score of 8-2. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Lean back, crack a cold one, and listen to the game. Sure, even if you are at work. This is Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Back here at Rogers Center, the Blue Jays cube the Seattle Mariners 8-2. The Jays went into the fifth inning of this game without a hit. Significant because they didn't get any hits in the last five innings last night. So it was nine consecutive innings, no hit for Blue Jay offense. But boy, did they make up for it. Two-run homers from Ryan Goins and Edwin Encarnacion in the fifth. Then four runs on four hits in the seventh on the way to an 8-2 win over the Seattle Mariners. Elsewhere, the Boston Red Sox were 6-1 winners over the Angels, but they're the only team in the American League East, other than the Blue Jays, that won today. Oakland beat the Tampa Bay Rays 7-2, which means, amazingly, the Blue Jays gain a game in the standings, and they're 20-26, but 4.5 games out of first place. They've won four of their last 15 games, have the Blue Jays, and they've lost a half game in the standings. That is incredible. The Baltimore Orioles 5-2 losers to the Miami Marlins. Tonight, the Rangers and Yankees in New York in a game that can be heard on many of these Sportsnet radio network stations. Right now, the Houston Astros lead the Detroit Tigers 10-8. They're in the bottom of the ninth inning. Evan Gattis, a double shy of the cycle. The Tigers have a runner on first and one out. Minnesota beating up on the White Sox 8-1. That one's in the top of the eighth inning. And in the bottom of the eighth in the I-70 series, it's St. Louis over Kansas City by a score of 6-1. Earlier, the Indians took down the Reds 5-2, Atlanta over Milwaukee 2-1. Pirates 9, the Mets 1, and Washington beat the Phillies 4-1. The Blue Jays 3-4 on this homestand with three games to go. Welcome the Chicago White Sox for three starting tomorrow night. Hector Noesi, who's 0-3 with an ERA of 5.5, up against the resurgent Drew Hutchison. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. Join us, won't you? You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howarth and Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Frank Head, I'm Mike Wilner. Good evening from Toronto.